Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, Masjid Darussalam, Toronto, Canada. Ladies Bayan on Saturday after Dhuhr Salah, 11th of Ramadan, 20th of July, 2013. Women were not citizens of Great Britain before 1830. Miras was introduced for the first time after the revelation of Surah Nisa. Whatever elders cannot wear should not be offered to children. A'mal of getting a proposal for marriage. One lady conversed by using the verses of the Holy Quran for 30 years. Talking too much hardens the heart. The bayan is presented by Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Lambada Shahib Damat Barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تتمنوا ما فضل الله به بعضكم على بعض للرجال نصيب مما اكتسبوا وللنساء نصيب مما اكتسبن وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا وقال تعالى لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا وقال تعالى إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرأة إذا صلت خمسها وصامت شهرها وأطاعت بعلها وأحصنت فرجها فلتدخل من أي أبواب الجنة شاءت وقال عليه السلام حاملات والدات رحيمات لولا ما يأتين إلى أزواجهن لدخل مصلياتهن الجنة وقال عليه السلام يا معشر النساء تصدقنا وأكثرنا الاستغفار فإني أريتكن أكثر أهل النار قلنا وما لنا يا رسول الله أكثر أهل النار قال تكثرن اللعن وتكفرن العشير ما رأيت من ناقصات عقل ودين أذهب للب الرجل الحازم من إحداكن أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ما قال ربنا وخالقنا ورازقنا من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما درود شریف پڑھیں بھائی اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد Respected elders, brothers, friends, young ones, ladies, first of all, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us tawfiq to pray salatu zuhr with jamaat. May Allah accept our humble ibadat. May Allah be pleased with us. Thereafter, This bayan is originally for ladies. So, my friends who are sitting here are tufailis. You are listening to the bayan due to the tufail of the ladies. Tufaili is someone who goes into dawat uninvited. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we shouldn't do this. If you're not invited, don't go. And if you are invited, don't refuse. There was a person in Basra whose name was Tufail. And it was his habit that he would just keep an eye out. Wherever there is walima, aqiqa, dawat, guest, mehman, he would creep inside. Aram se, maze se, khub kha pi kar, baat seena taan ke bahar. If someone was to ask him, why you've been invited, he would say, kyun tere baap ki dawat hai? Tum chab dukhani apna? Mujhe kyun puchhte hai? Tu apna kaam kar, mujhe apna kaam karne de. So from his name Tufail, this phrase of Tufaili started. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said with regards to a person who creeps in, sneaks in and eats at someone's house, he said, دَخَلَ سَارِقًا وَخَرَجَ مُغِيرًا. He went in as a thief and came out as a looter. I'm just mentioning this because many times this happens. Some people have a habit of going into limas, dawats without invitation. Or one or two persons from the family are invited, they take the whole football team. So this should not be the case. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand and practice whatever we learn. Respected ladies, we are talking about, let's say for example, women's rights. What was the status of woman before Islam? You take a look at the whole world. That is the Greek civilization, in which a woman is thought to be the worst creation on land. A woman is taken to be worse than the devil. She is beaten, she is imprisoned, shackled, and for smallest mistakes, she is beaten severely. She has no rights whatsoever. We look at the mushrikeen of Jahiliyyah. They have no regard for the women. A woman has no share in the inheritance, zero, nothing whatsoever. A woman has no right to buy properties. She has no right in any of these services, free allowances distributed, war booties being distributed. It will only be given to men, not even children. Only men who have reached the age of being a warrior and a fighter, they would get share from these allowances and booties. You look at other places, you look at Europe, it was in the dark ages, still wearing its diapers, nappies. And America was not yet discovered. This was the state of the world 1400 years ago. So much oppression was taking place. Even in the Judaism custom, women had no rights. Same with Christianity. We look at our England, UK. Until 1835, a woman was not granted citizenship. Then the feminist movement rose and they made some demonstrations after which a woman was given citizenship. Same over there. She did not have the right to buy a house or open her own business or property. Just recently, 150 years ago. Now we look at all this, what was going on, how the woman was being treated. In the time of Jahiliyyah, when a woman would be divorced, she would have to go through very strict procedures before she can get back. She would be sent to the worst part of the place around in the surroundings, in a cave or somewhere, left alone for one whole year. She would starve. This would be the condition. In the Christian mazhab, Orthodox Christianity, when a woman gets widowed, she is not allowed to marry. She has to stay single for the rest of her life. And still in many customs, we see, I went to Portugal and I saw the Catholics, they are practicing, they are very strict on their religion. And the gypsy community who are very strict, when their husband dies, their woman has to stay single for the rest of her life. We went shopping in the gypsy market and we saw some ladies with black clothes. So I asked my friend, what is this black cloth? And they said that this means that that woman is a widow and she has to wear that black cloth for the rest of her life. She can't wear any colored clothes. I saw a young woman with a baby in her hand. She was feeding that baby wearing black clothes. I said, what is she? Is she also a widow? And they said, yes. That means her husband has died in an accident or something, leaving that small baby, and she has to stay alone and earn her life, daily bread for herself, and she can't get married. She will stay like this for the rest of her life. Even today. And this was in the religion, it's in their scriptures, books, that's what they have added in there. So this was the status in many, many places throughout the world. Islam came. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the book. Allah sent Sayyiduna wa Mawlana Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gave ladies their proper rights. Islam elevated the ranks of ladies. The first inheritance was distributed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara after the revelation of Suratul Nisa and the ayat of Suratul Nisa. This Sahabi was martyred in the battle of Badr. He was wealthy. He left behind an orchard, a real nice bagh, bustan, and lots of money. But the deceased brothers took control of everything. They gave nothing to the widow and nothing to her two daughters. This was the custom from before. So she was patient, but she couldn't take it anymore. After a few days, she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, your brother Abu al-As was martyred in the battle of Badr. He left behind an estate. We got no share of it. My daughters have reached the age of marriage. I need some money to get them married for their weddings. So I and my daughters will have some share in the estate. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept quiet, waited for wahi. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came with the wahi. لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرْ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا. Men have shares, women have shares. Both will have their shares. Everybody's shares has been allotted, distributed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the ayat of Yusikumullahu fi awladikum. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called upon the deceased, his deceased brothers and said, these ayat have been revealed and there is share for the wife and the daughters and you have to give them their share. No problem, Ya Rasulullah, whatever you say. 1/8 of the estate was given to the wife, 2/3 to the two daughters, and the remainder for the brothers. So this was the first miras in that area to be distributed. Islam gave women their rights, elevated their status. And then we see in other fields as well, when ladies would participate in battles Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give them their share as well. This is for the ladies. When ladies would do some work, allowances would be given out. Rasulullah would give ladies their allowances. With regards to marriage, Islam said a woman cannot be forced into marriage. Forced marriages are not allowed. Some people say that Muslims force their daughters to marry. No, it's haram. You can't force your daughter against her will. If she doesn't want to marry someone, you have to go by her wishes. They make this objection because they get mixed up between arranged marriage and forced marriage. There is a difference between the two. The elderly, the parents, are much more wiser than the youngsters. They look at everything. They look at the person, his personality, family members, surroundings, dindari, religiousness. And then they say, this person is suitable for you. It's better if you get married. And they let them talk among themselves, see if they are both on the same wavelength. They have something in common and they will be a good couple. You talk, you have some conversation, questions, answers, and then you feel you are right, compatible for one another, then you get married. This is arranging it. So the elder's duty, responsibility to arrange and then put everything on the table, and then the youngsters who are going, they can decide, they are happy, then you get them married. But you can't take your 16, 17 year old daughter and marry her to a 40 year old man against her will. No, you have to take her feelings into consideration. So, Islam prohibited forced marriage. It used to happen in the time of Jahiliyyah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. One Sahabi forced his daughter to get married to his nephew. She didn't like him. Marriage was done. Wedding was done. But she came to Rasulullah and she said, Ya Rasulullah, my father married me to his brother's son, but I am not happy with him. And I don't want to stay with him. There should be some right for me as well, some say for me in my marriage as well. And Rasulullah said, of course, you are baligha, you have reached that age, you have your haq, you can cancel that marriage if you want. She said, I want to cancel it. So the ladies were given right with regards to marriage. In the Jahiliyyah, many people would marry their father's second wife. Islam prohibited that. She is also like a mother to you. You have to respect her like your own mother. Just because your father married her and then she was young, your father was old, he died, she is still young. So you take her in your marriage, haram, Islam said. She is like your mother, you have to respect her like your own mother. So Islam gave rights and made everything right, put everything into order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Then he went on to say, Allah said, وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Before Islam, there was no limit for wives. Some of the leaders of the tribes used to get married to many, many multiple women. 10, 20, 30, 40, no limits. Islam put the limits on. Maximum limit for wives is 4. You can't exceed that limit. 1, 2, 3, 4, full stop. This Sahabi embraced Islam. He had 10 wives. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I've got 10 wives, what should I do? And he said, Rasulullah replied, أَمْسِكْ أَرْبَعًا وَفَارِقْ سَائِرَهُمْ. Keep 4 and divorce the other 6. Islam said, you can't marry 2 sisters at the same time. This Sahabi embraced Islam and he had 2 sisters in his nikah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have to divorce 1 sister. You can't marry 2 sisters at the same time. So Islam gave us guidance, guided us, gave rights. حقوق to women. Islam realizes that a woman, a lady, is sinf nazuk. She is the weaker part. And she is soft. She is soft because of her softness. She could be abused, insulted. So Islam put everything into line that these are the limits and these are her rights. This is how you should treat her and you should behave with her in a proper manner. Allah said, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. They have rights just as they have responsibilities. In a reasonable manner. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's final khutbah on the farewell hajj, the last sermon in the farewell hajj, you read that Rasulullah mentions the rights of women in there. So, next time someone tells you that Islam does not give women's rights, you say, chuk away. Do you know what women's rights are? Islam knows better. Allah knows better. Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Allah is the creator of men and women. Allah knows better than anybody else. Allah knows what rights to give, what responsibilities to give. So Allah Pak has explained everything in Quran, Hadith. You get all the details in there. Alhamdulillah, Islam is Allah's religion, Allah's deen, and Allah has explained women's rights in a proper manner. So don't fall for such objections. Keep your iman firm and strong in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you. Now, we are living in an environment today wherein people make objections saying that, why does Islam not allow this? Why does Islam not allow that for women? Why can't we go to the masjid for Jummah and Jamaat? These types of questions. Well, these questions were posed before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they have been answered 1400 years ago. The ladies were nice ladies. They came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, these men are very fortunate. They get to sit in your company, listen to your bayan, waaz, discourses, speeches, benefit from you, pray behind you, go into hajj with you, go into jihad fi sabilillah with you, and battlefields. Can we also come in the jihad? Can we also do this? Can we also have some special times with you? No, we want our ranks to be raised in Jannah as well, just as their ranks are raised by going in the path of Allah and striving and making efforts. We also want to go and struggle in the path of Allah. We want to take part in the battles and wars as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Do not wish for those things in which Allah has given virtue to some of you over the others. Men will get the reward and thawab for whatever they do and whatever they earn. And ladies will get reward and thawab for whatever they do, whatever they earn. And ask Allah for His fadl. Say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Men should also say this. Ladies should also say this. When we come to the masjid, when we enter, we say, Allahumma iftah li abwaaba rahmati. When we exit the masjid, we say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadli. I want your fadl, I want your grace, I want your bounty, I want your blessing, O Allah. So Allah said, you will get thawab for whatever actions you do, whatever hasanat, whatever good deeds, whatever amale saliha you do, you will get that reward. Men will get their reward, women will get their reward. What you should be doing is not wishing that I wish I was a man and I could be a warrior and go into the battle. I wish I was a man and I could go into masjid and always pray my namaz with jamaat. Don't wish for these things. Allah said, وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Ask Allah for His fadl and His grace. Wish for that fadl and grace from Allah. Oh Allah, I am happy with the way You have made me. I want Your fadl and Your grace. I want Your tawfiq. And by the fadl of Allah, many times women can go higher than men. If Allah's fadl is with you, then ladies can do more taraqqi and gain higher ranks than men. Many ladies will go in Jannah, and because of their a'mal salihah, they will get a higher Jannah. And their husband will be given a lower Jannah. But because of the piety of the wife, the husband will be pulled towards the higher Jannah. Because Allah is not unjust to bring the wife down to the lower Jannah, He will pull the husband to the higher Jannah. This is Allah's fadl. If we look at the history, we see many, many salihat, sahabiyat, tabi'iyat, muhaddithat, faqihat, mufassirat, many ladies excelling in every field. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha excels in the field of hadith, tafsir, fiqh, educating the ummah. And of course, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha will be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. And her rank is much more higher than many, many men. She is with Rasulullah, she has gone above her own father, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So, ladies can do taraqqi and go higher than men. This is what Allah said, وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Be content with whoever you are and ask for Allah's grace. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Allah has full knowledge of everything. Allah created men, Allah created women. There is no discrimination with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has made everyone equal, and Allah will reward everyone for whatever they have earned and whatever they have done from أعمال صالحة. On another instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ. Surely, the submitting men and submitting women. وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. The believing men and believing women. وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ. The obedient men and obedient women. وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ. The truthful men and truthful women. وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ. The patient men and patient women. وَالْخَاشِعِينَ وَالْخَاشِعَاتِ. The humble men and humble women. وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ. The charitable men and charitable women. وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ. And those men who fast and those women who fast. وَالْحَافِذِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ. And those men who guard their modesty, private parts, and those ladies who guard their modesty. وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. And those men who remember Allah abundantly, and those women who remember Allah abundantly. أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah has kept ready for them forgiveness and ajri azim, huge reward. So Allah explained that there is no discrimination with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all Allah's creation, men or women. We are all equal. We will be ranked according to our deeds. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, we should strive, work hard, and do as many good deeds as we can. This is what will benefit us in the year after, rather than making objections and making such remarks by which we could lose our iman. Today, the society is filled with disbelief, denial, kufr, shirk, fisq, fujur. And we see that these things have effect on us, on our young generation, youngsters sitting here, young girls listening to the lecture, your environment which you are in, your friendship, your circle, whom you associate with, they influence you. And you can be influenced by them into maybe, you know, misbehaving, sinning, disobeying, wearing clothes which you shouldn't be wearing. Sometimes we see young girls who may not be mature and baligh yet, but you see their libas and you are shocked. The way they have dressed, maybe mini skirts, arms open, neck and everything open, hairstyle, Allah Allah. Then we see, analyze that, you know, when she grows up, she's not going to wear hijab. She will hate hijab. Even if she wears hijab, she will be frustrated inside that hijab. Because we have not mentally prepared her from that gentle age, tender age. Imam Malik rahmatullahi used to say that what the elders can't wear, you shouldn't make the children wear that either. He was asked about putting some bracelets, golden silver bracelets on young children's hands, young boys. And he said, no, men can't wear gold, silver bracelets and bangles and things like that. So children should not be made to wear them either. Because they're growing to grow up. And their mentality will be, okay, I used to wear this, this is okay for me. So when we see young girls with that libas, we have to think twice. What's going on? Well, what's happened with our mentality? So we should give even the young girls proper clothing as well. So when they grow up, they wear the proper hijab. When they go out, they cover themselves. They are well trained properly into wearing the hijab. With regards to covering the body, it is necessary to cover the body from head to toe when a woman goes out. Nudity, showing body, na'uzu billah, is haram. Cover your hair, cover your neck, cover your chest, your arms. Sometimes ladies go to work and they wear blouses in maybe hospitals, nurses, and their blouses, the sleeves are right up to the shoulder. And when they raise their hands, you can see their armpits. So this type of libas for ladies, how can that be possible? So cover yourself properly. Don't display your beauty. Don't, you know, look for reasons to open and reveal your body. Don't wear tight clothes, revealing the shape of the body, shape of the chair, shape of your body. That should not be the case. You should cover yourself properly. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا لِبُعُولَتِهِنَّ أَوْ آبَائِهِنَّ. Allah mentions that whole list in the masala of covering the body. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ. People say there is no ayat in Quran about hijab. Once I did some research, there are at least 7 ayat of hijab in the Quran and 70 ahadith. They all indicate towards hijab to the extent of covering the face as well for young pretty girls. For old ladies, there is some exemption. But for young pretty girls whose face is attractive, you have to cover yourself. One girl in one of our madrasas, studying Mishkat Sharif, saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in her dream. She was in her madrasa, in the dream, sitting in front of the apa, reading from the Mishkat Sharif book, hadith, and someone says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is here, and he is sitting in that room. So the class get up to go and see Rasulullah. But that girl is shy and she says to her friend, please give him my salams. And the teacher in the dream says, why are you sending your salams? Go. So say salam personally. And she finds the courage and she goes and she stands at the door in the room in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting. Rasulullah was praying salah. He finished his salah, said salam. And then he turned towards her and he smiled. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up and came close and he said, "What is your name?" And she said, "My name is so and so, Aisha." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. And then he went into another room. And the girl came and sat in the class. Someone came and said, "Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling you." So she went and sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her some advice. Two beautiful advices. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Apni nazar ki hifazat karo aur apna hijab sahi pehno." Keep control over your eyes, your gaze, and wear your hijab properly. Allahu Akbar. Beautiful advice. Beautiful nasihat. We normally think that it is the men who have to control their eyes. And men shouldn't look at women. Whereas it works both ways. Women should also not stare at men. If you see someone outside in the warm weather, bare-chested, wearing nothing but shorts, then women shouldn't stare at such people. Tawbah, tawbah, astaghfirullah. Or even at home, watching movies, flirting and daydreaming about the movie stars, film stars, pop stars, sports stars. Haram. Just as men are not allowed to stare at women, similarly, women should also behave. And they should avoid the sin of the eye. The sin of the eye is not just mentioned in the Quran, it's also mentioned in the Bible. A friend of mine who embraced Islam, Christian, he was Catholic, he was well versed with the Bible, he was a practicing Catholic, embraced Islam. And we were talking once and he said, "You know, in Bible as well it's written that the seven sins are detrimental for the spiritual health. Among them is the sin of the eye. And then takabbur, pride, haughtiness, and jealousy, and malice." And he mentioned this. I said, "This is tasawwuf of Imam Ghazali." So, the sin of the eye is extremely damaging for the spiritual health. And men and women, they both have to avoid it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, "Take care of your eyes, don't stare." And the second advice was, "Wear your hijab properly." Meaning she was wearing hijab, niqab as well. But sometimes girls tend to enhance their beauty with hijab. They wear that hijab burqa, which is tight, showing the body. There's so much decorations and embroidery on the burqa. And brings into open, makes them look more beautiful. So the aim of the hijab is not to open the body in front of people, it's to cover the body. So the hijab should be loose. It should not be of a tight cloth or of that cloth which is shiny and is more attractive. So be careful with regards to your hijab as well. This is the advice given over here. So my respected sisters, you have to cover your body properly. Don't display your body outside for people to see. I was reading this book of Ibn Abi Dunya rahmatullahi alayhi called Kitabul Manamat. And he mentions some dreams in there. He says, this wali of Allah saw a dream that Maidan-e-Hashar has taken place, everybody has been resurrected. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu wa Amma Nawaluhu is also present. People are being presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will be presented to Allah on the day of Qiyamah for Hisab Kitab. Direct one-to-one conversation with Allah. Allah will ask us, "You did this, you did this. This is your book, this is your sin, this is your disobedience." And we will be ashamed, guilty. "Yes, yes, oh Allah, yes. I admit my guilt." Upon some, Allah will be angry. With others, Allah will be lenient. So, this wali of Allah sees a dream. And Allah shows such dreams sometimes that these are the things that's going to happen. They're going to happen in future, but Allah shows them now. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a dream. He said, last night I saw a dream that an ummati of mine was brought upon Pul Sirat, the bridge which is spread over Jahannam, which we all have to cross. And he was struggling to cross, and he was about to fall into the fire of Jahannam, when suddenly his Durood Sharif, his Salat upon me, came and carried him and helped him through to the other side. This shows the importance of Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should spend some time in Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin al-Nabiyil Ummiyya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallim taslima. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Spend some time in Durood Sharif. Durood Sharif is a cure for many illnesses and is a source of removal for many problems, worries, anxieties. Our Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, once a lady wrote a letter to him, that Hazrat, in which she mentioned that my daughter has reached the age of marriage, but we are not getting any proposals. Can you please give us some ta'weez or something that she can get some proposals? Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi, rather than giving any ta'weez, wrote back that the mother and the daughter should both fix a time of the day and sit facing the Qibla and recite Durood-e-Ibrahimi, the Namazwala Durood, 500 times every day. Inshallah, Allah will give you beautiful proposal and give you beautiful son-in-law as well. 500 times Durood Sharif. Allahumma sal, Namazwala Durood. So this is for those ladies out there as well. If you are going through this problem, no proposal, then fix a time, morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time is easier for you. But same time every day. Sit facing Qibla, after maybe namaz with wuzu, and recite namaz wala durood 500 times. It'll take you some time, maybe half an hour, 1 hour, but give that one hour for a few days, inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your problem. So, Rasulullah said, I saw in that dream that my Durood Sharif came and helped the person through. Sometimes Allah shows these scenarios to teach us lessons. So this wali of Allah sees this scene. That Maidan-e-Hashar has taken place, people have been resurrected, presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he sees that this semi-naked woman is being dragged by the malaika. And she is screaming. She is screaming. But the malaika are dragging her. She is pulled in front of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets really angry. He turns his face away. Oh, kisko le aaye? Who have you brought over here? Take her away. Throw her in Jahannam. And Allah gives the reason for that. كَانَتْ مُتَبَرِّجَةً بِزِينَتِهَا She used to display her beauty to people. That is why she is here in this manner. The clothes which she used to wear in the dunya, she is even that type of clothing. Hair open, neck open, face open, and chest open, and feet, knees, shins open, semi-naked manner. Allah protect, Allah forbid us. Another story of similar kind is mentioned. This young girl says that my mother was very stingy. She never used to spend in the path of Allah. And any miskeen would come for begging, she would get angry upon him and drive him away. All she gave during her life was that once some miskeen came and he had tattered clothes and he was asking for some covering clothes. And she had some chitra, old rug, and she threw it at him, take this. And once we had a goat slaughtered, and we were cleaning the meat, someone came to beg help, and rather than giving meat, she gave him a piece of charbi, fat. Take this away. And the miskin took that fat and left. She says, when my mother died, after some time, I saw her in a dream. And I saw that she is crying and she doesn't have any clothes to cover her body. Only a small piece of cloth by which she is covering her private part. And she has a small piece of charbi, fat in her hand. She's thirsty, she's crying for water, but no water, so she's trying to suck some liquid from that fat which is in her hands. And the malaika say that this is due to her stinginess, miserliness. She never used to spend upon the masakin. Now she's here in this terrible state. She's only got that cloth because once she gave that cloth to the miskin, that rag. So with that she's covering herself now. And that fat which she gave, that's in her hand, she's getting little bit of wetness from that fat. Other than that, she's crying out for water and thirsty but not getting it. This soul shows that women, you should be generous as well, be kind, spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This wali of Allah says, That semi-naked woman, Allah said, take her away, take her away. And he says, I was scared and my turn is coming to be presented to Allah. But when I was presented, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take him to Jannah. He is a nice man. Allah said, the reason, he used to come for Jummah Salah very early. So because of that, I am happy with him. I don't need to take any other hisab kitab. Just take him to Jannah. So I will encourage my brothers sitting over here, my elders, that show some special respect to Yawmul Jumu'ah. On Friday, come early for Salatul Jumu'ah. As much early as you can, 10 o'clock, half 10, 11 o'clock, you should be in the masjid. Read Surah Kahf, read Surah Yasin, read some Quran, read some Durus Sharif. Especially in the month of Ramadan, two Jummas have gone, two left. On Jummatul Wada, especially, come early to the masjid. And ladies at home as well, on Friday, take some time out for yourself, for your akhirat. You know, do your cleaning and cooking early. And then, you know, have shower, and then sit down and read Surah Kahf, Surah Yasin, Durus Sharif, Tasmihat, Salatul Tasbih before Zawal, and then after Zawal, pray your Zuhar, and then relax. So, this is with regards to the hijab, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. We're talking about ladies should cover themselves properly. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand that, you know, in covering ourselves, there is benefit for us. And revealing ourselves, there is harm for us. When we read the Qur'ani ayat, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ Allah said, ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنَّ The hijab will keep your hearts pure and clean and keep their hearts pure and clean as well. Both hearts will remain clean. Meaning, if you wear your hijab properly, nobody's eyes will do zina with you. But if you are revealing yourself, then people's eyes will be doing zina with you. And those people whose eyes are doing zina, their hearts will become dirty and filthy. Dirtied by that unlawful staring and gazing. You know, we don't understand this. Once, my friend Mulana Nushad Sahib wanted to buy a car, and we were passing through, we saw that this advertisement, and we said, let's have a look at this car. It was a mechanic. So he was working, he wanted to buy this car, but look at, okay, can you show us around, drive? He said, okay, so he sat on the driving seat, Marana sat at the front, I sat at the back, and he started driving, and he was in the downtown. So, he's driving, And treat the car, it's a very nice car. And suddenly he see, nice one, nice one, nice one. I thought to myself, what's this nice one, nice one? He was looking, staring at the nude girls. Nice one, nice one, nice one. So his eyes are doing zina. His heart is dirty, filthy with that unlawful haram, gazing, staring. So if you reveal your body, you are open to that. You are, you know, because of you, the people who stare, their hearts will get dirty, your hearts will get dirty as well. Because you like that flirting, you want to be the center of attraction. So Allah said, wear your hijab properly, this will keep your hearts clean as well, and there the men folks' hearts clean as well. This is the hikmat and wisdom behind hijab. Hijab is not something forced upon you, if you don't like it, and still you have to wear it. No, you should love hijab, you should like hijab, and you should cover your body properly. May Allah give us tawfiq to do so. We started off, my dear brothers and sisters, with believing in everything that Allah says. Allah Pak has given women their rights. Allah Pak has given them their responsibilities. We should fulfill our duties, our responsibilities, and hope for our rights from our partners. And inshallah, in this way, our life will move on swiftly. We should show our submission to the will of Allah. Believe in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. Our iman should be strong. Our iman should be as firm, as strong as the Himalaya mountains. Unshakable, unmovable. Anything anybody says about our deen, don't make any objection upon our deen al-Islam. Don't let your iman be shaken. No, don't watch these types of movies in which there are so many, some lines which shake your iman, which take you away from putting your trust into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which say, well, there is no God. I don't believe in God. God has never helped me. So why should I put my trust in Him? These types of lines, they are deliberately put in there to corrupt your iman. So be very careful with what you do, with whom you behave, how you behave, with whom you associate. Try and, you know, be very careful upon your iman. Keep your iman strong. We will close on this, that iman, Islam is very, very precious, important. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran? Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who have believed, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared. Or let's change the translation. Be mindful of Allah as He deserves to be taken care of. You should take care of Allah's commands. Be mindful. Be constantly aware that Allah is watching you. Have taqwa. اتقوا الله حق تقاتي. And ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Do not die except in the state of Islam. In the state of being a Muslim, Muslima. Do not lose Islam. If you lose Islam, you're gone. Because if you don't have Islam, if you don't have Iman, and you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can never get out of Jahannam. Never ever. Only get out of Jahannam if you have the Kalma-e Tawheed, Iman, Islam with you. This is why when Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi used to mention the hadith of the last person to come out of Jahannam. After narrating that hadith, how he will come out and how he will be admitted into Jannah, Hasan Basri would cry. And he would say, I wish I was that last person. Because at least he is coming out of Jahannam. I don't know whether I'm going to die with Iman Islam, and I will be, if I go, then I'll be allowed to come out of it or not. If I go with Iman Islam, Allah will admit me into Jannah. If not, then Allah knows what's going to happen. So Allah said, have taqwa and die with Iman Islam. When Allah joined both together, Allah indicated that if you want to die as Muslims, then you will have to develop taqwa in you. The muttaqeen will inshallah die with Islam and Iman. So if your whole life passes with taqwa, fear of Allah, awareness of Allah, inshallah the time of your death you will have Iman as well. So keep this taqwa. The aim of roza is also taqwa. Why does Allah tell us to fast? Stay hungry and thirsty throughout the day. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that you can have taqwa in you. You can be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always beware that Allah is watching you and you have angels on your right and left noting everything down. Don't misbehave, don't sin, don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try and keep the angel on your right busy so he can write as many good deeds as possible and make sure the one on your left is free, he's not writing anything, and the book of your bad deeds and sins is empty and the book of your good deeds is full. I must have narrated to you the incident of Mutakallimah bil Quran, that lady who was a beautiful hafizah of the Quran, perfect hafizah, and she used to speak with the Quran, and for 30 years she had spoken nothing but the Quran. For 30 years, she would speak nothing but the Quran. Abdullah ibn Mubarak narrates that I was returning from Hajj. I saw this lady sitting under the shade of a tree. So I thought to myself, what is this lady doing here alone? So with the caravan, I approached her and I said, Salaam alaikum. And the lady replied, Salaamun qawlam min rabbir raheem. Recited the ayat of Surah Yasin. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak realized that she is a Muslim. So he asked her, Oh dear lady, what are you doing over here sitting alone? And she replied, مَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهِ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهِ Whomsoever Allah misguides, none can guide him. Meaning, I've lost my way, I've been separated from my caravan. Abdullah ibn Mubarak asked, how long have you been here for? And she replied, ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ سَوِيَّا Three complete nights, wandering around. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, then you have no provisions. How do you survive? You have no food, no drink. How have you been surviving? And she replied, Alladhi huwa yut'imuni wa yasqeen. Allah feeds me and Allah gives me, quenches my thirst. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, I offered her some food. I have some food and drink. Do you want to eat from here? And she replied, ثُمَّ تِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ Complete your roza until the night. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, well, this is not Ramadan. You know, why are you keeping roza now? And she replied, وَأَن تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ Keeping roza is better for you, if you realize. So I'm keeping roza, even on a hot day, in a desert, sitting under the shade of a tree, she's fasting. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, I was amazed. I said, do you want me to help you, take you to where you need to go? And she replied, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ If you do ihsan to me, kindness, Allah will show kindness to you as well. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak knelt his camel down and he said, okay, you ride on the rear portion of the camel and inshallah we will take you to where you need to go. So the camel came down, she went to ride on it and Abdullah ibn Mubarak was looking. She said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ Lower your gaze. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak looked down. And then she went to ride on the camel. She tripped in her cloth, fell. And she said, مَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ Any musibat comes upon you is because of your own doings. I must have made a mistake. And because of that, I tripped and I fell. Qurani ayat upon ayat. She rode on the camel, Abdullah ibn Mubarak also, rest of the caravan, they are going. And it was the habit of the people of the caravan that they would sing some nasheeds loudly and the camels would run and run and run. Because they would go out of, they wouldn't realize how much weight they are carrying and then they would rush and run properly and, you know, cut the distance quickly. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak started reading some poetry loudly. And she recited the ayat, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ Be moderate in your walk and lower your voice. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak lowered his voice and they started moving calmly, swiftly, rather than hastily. And by nightfall, they arrived at a place where there was a caravan camped. So Abdullah Mubarak realized that this must be the caravan because this is the direction. So, Abdullah Mubarak asked her, this looks like the caravan. Do you have anyone, any relatives, your mahrams or anyone in here I can go and inquire about? And she replied, Al-Malu wal-Banuna zinatul hayati dunya, meaning she has some sons in that caravan. Abdullah Mubarak asked, how can I recognize them? And she replied, وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ, meaning they are the guides of the caravan. And he asked, any names? And she replied, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ خَلِيلًا وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَقْلِيمًا يَا يَحْيَا خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةِ. The names are Ibrahim and Musa and Yahya. Ayat upon ayat, ayat upon ayat. And Abdullah ibn Mubarak goes around, looks for them, and they say, bhai, bhai, kaun hai, Ibrahim, Musa, kaun guide hai, tumhara rehbar kaun hai? And they get together and they said, bhai, have you lost your mother or what? They said, yeah, we've been looking for her, we can't find her. Well, there she is. And they come rushing and they embrace, oh, Alhamdulillah, you are safe, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And she recites some verse of the Quran. And by now, it's Maghrib time. So, she has to open her roza. So she said, فَبْعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ مِّنْهُ. Bring some food so we can eat and open our roza. In this manner, she was reciting Quran upon Quran upon Quran. Abdullah ibn Mubarak was amazed. He asked them, how long has your mother been talking in this manner? And they replied, for 30 years. She always talks from the Quran. She is so great, Jayyid Hafiza, that immediately the Qur'ani ayat comes in her mind. Now, Abdullah ibn Mubarak asked her, dear lady, why do you do this? Why do you always speak from the Qur'an? And she replied, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Whatever words you utter, there is someone waiting to note it down. Meaning, whatever I say is noted down. On the day of Qiyamah, when I book of, when my sahifa and book of deeds is open, then I want nothing to come out of there except Quran. Quran, Quran, Quran. So when I am presented to Allah, my a'mal nama, my sahifa, my book is filled with Quran. That is why I speak nothing but the Quran. She was mutakallimah bil Quran, amazing, a miracle of the Quran. Such ladies, lady hafiza, and such beautiful hafiza, and such well versed with the verses of the Quran. So, alhamdulillah, we have had ladies like these as well, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these. We also, so the lesson in there for us is, my dear sisters, we should control our tongues. In Canada, I see that people don't have control on their tongues. They talk too much. Yap, 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 yap. You have your free phones, so you put it on the speaker, and you are cooking, and you are talking for hours and hours. Blah, 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 blah. You know, you should train yourself to be khamosh, quiet. I have noticed this. Even when driving or sitting among friends, rather than reading some Quran or doing some tasbihat, they talk to blah, 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 blah. Too much talking. Too much talking. It's too much talking. Idle talking is no good. Rasulullah said, La tuksirul kalam bi ghayri zikrillah. Don't speak too much other than the zikr of Allah. Why? فَإِنَّ كَسْرَةَ الْكَلَامِ بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ قَصْوَةٌ بِالْقَلْبِ. Because if you speak too much other than the remembrance of Allah, your heart becomes hard. Just by idle talking, the heart is hardened. Heart is hardened, becomes rock, like rock. سَخْتْ هُوْ جَاتَ يَدِلْ وَإِنَّ أَبْعَدَ النَّاسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْقَلْبُ الْقَاسِمِ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, try and control your tongue. You know, train yourself to be silent. That you get the urge to say something, but you suppress that urge. No, I'm not going to say it. Control your talk, your conversation, don't talk unnecessarily. We have seen mashayikh who used to train their muridins with khamoshi. Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Madzub Rahmatullah Ali came to the khanqa of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. He used to be a collector. Collector in India is like the taxman. So he wanted to be reformed. He was retired and he came for his rectification. He used to talk a lot, speak a lot. So Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali looked at this condition and he said, Khaja sahab, zara, calm down, calm down. But still he couldn't control himself. So you know what Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi did? He told him to write on a board in big writings, khamosh, which means silent. And he said, tie it with a string and wear it in your neck throughout the khanqa, throughout the day. So he would wear it throughout the day from morning till evening. Wherever he goes, whoever sees him, he says that the khamosh, meaning today I can't talk. I have pabandi on my tongue, I have to stay quiet. So for a few days, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali trained him to keep quiet and stay silent. One of my friends talks too much. I said to him, the only time you stay quiet is when you do your toothbrush. So we have to train ourselves to be quiet, silent. So ladies as well, I will give you this nasihat, that you know, try and control your speech. Don't talk too much. You know, keep yourself to yourself. Busy your time in zikrullah, in tilawat, tasbihat, awrat, zaif. This is another nasihat. These few thoughts came to my mind with regards to hijab, with regards to our iman, protecting our iman, being very careful, and with regards to speaking good, don't speak any evil, don't backbite anyone, don't lie, don't cheat. Also, if there are any young sisters sitting in the gathering, then I will request, control your social network life as well. Facebook, Twitter, messaging, WhatsApp. Don't send messages which you shouldn't be sending. Before you type any message, before you send it, be careful. What is this I am sending? It is also recorded. All your emails are saved. Not only by the authorities, but also by your angels. All your emails and all your texts and all your Twitters and everything, Facebook, everything is saved. And it will be either used for you or against you on the day of Qiyamah. So because writing is also part of speaking. You speak, you write, they're both same. Al-qalamu hadul lisanain, Arabic proverb says. So you have to control your emails as well, your Facebook account as well. Don't put your photos on the Facebook account. Many girls wear hijab, but they put their photos on Facebook. So over here, if she was to walk without hijab, then a few people would see her, but over there the whole world is seeing her. Because on Facebook, your private life becomes public. So you are sharing your photos in public. Anybody can see it wherever they want to. So you have to be very careful with regards to Facebook and the social network. Use it for the better, not for the worse. Use it to stay in contact with your sheikh, with your ustad, with your good friends. Other than that, finish. Don't use it for other purposes. So this is also what we need to put control on, along with our tongue, our use of the social network as well. Be very careful with regards to that. May Allah give us tawfiq to practice upon what we preach. May Allah be pleased with us. Jazakumullah. Thank you very much. Sorry for taking too much time. Inshallah, it will be beneficial for all of us. Durud Sharif padhle, dua kar lete hain. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا وارزقنا واسترنا واجبرنا واهدنا وارفعنا إنا لما أنزلت إلينا من خير فقراء. اللهم اغفر لجميع أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم تجاوز عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وألف بين قلوبهم، وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها أجمعين. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك، ويا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا إلى طاعتك. يا أرحم الراحمين معاذ اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما دیجئے. Oh Allah, you are the most merciful among those who show mercy. You are أرحم الراحمين. You are أكرم الأكرمين. You are أجود الأجودين. You are the most generous. You are the most forgiving. You are غفور الرحيم. You are عفو كريم. You are حنان منان. Oh Allah, you are worthy of all praise. We praise you. Oh Allah, we beg you, we beseech you, we spread our hands in front of you. We beg you for your mercy. Oh Allah, shower your mercy upon us. Oh Allah, give us maximum share of your rahmah. Give us maximum share of the khas special rahmah which is descending at this right moment upon our hearts. Oh Allah, do not deprive us. Oh Allah, do not let any single one person from among us go from here mahroom and deprived. Oh Allah, please bless us with your rahmah. Oh Allah, please forgive all our past sins. Oh Allah, of course we have sinned, we have erred, we have made mistakes. We admit our shortcomings. Oh Allah, we admit our guilt. Oh Allah, we are guilty, we are ashamed of ourselves. Oh Allah, we want to cry, but our eyes have become dry. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, you are Arhamur Rahim. You are Ghafurur Rahim. Please forgive all our sins, major and minor, the ones we committed in broad daylight, the ones we committed in the darkness of the night, the ones we committed on the television, on the computer, on the mobile, among our friends, the ones we committed in seclusion while we were alone. Oh Allah, you know everything better than us. You know our sins more than us. Oh Allah, you have the power to forgive. Nobody is going to question you if you forgive. Oh Allah, if you forgive, then, oh Allah, we will be blessed and it will make things easy for us. If you don't forgive, then we will be doomed, destroyed. Oh Allah, we beg you for your forgiveness. Please forgive us. Please have mercy upon us. Oh Allah, please keep us steadfast upon Sirat-e-Mustaqim till the day we die. Help us, guide us along Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, give us the understanding of your deen. Give us complete iman and perfect belief. Oh Allah, give us complete iman. Oh Allah, give us complete hidayat. Oh Allah, keep us away from the sins throughout our whole life. Oh Allah, give us a tawfiq to realize sin as sin and to avoid it. To realize virtue as virtue and to practice upon it. Oh Allah, have mercy upon us. Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Oh Allah, fulfill our needs. Oh Allah, fulfill our needs of this dunya and of the hereafter. Oh Allah, you know our needs better than us. And you can fulfill those needs. Oh Allah, help us. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, remove all the problems from those who have been afflicted by problems and trials, who are in imtihan and azmaish. Oh Allah, help them. Pull them through the trials which they are going through. Those who are sick, give them shifa. Those who are burdened with debts, oh Allah, help them to repay their debts. Oh Allah, those who have taken mortgages and loans out, give them the understanding that it's haram and to take that off their shoulders as quickly as possible. Oh Allah, those who have other problems, marriage problems, oh Allah, help them, assist them, support them. Where there are, oh Allah, infightings in homes, unite the hearts, get rid of that infighting. Oh Allah, we have fallen for the whisperings of the shaitan. Shaitan and nafs are our both staunch enemies. Both are our enemies. Oh Allah, we make friendship with them, we obey them, we listen to them. Oh Allah, and we forget you, we neglect you. Oh Allah, this is our weakness. Oh Allah, help us against shaitan and help us against our own egos. And oh Allah, keep us steadfast on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to pray 5 times a day. Give us tawfiq to keep our roza properly. Those youngsters, boys and girls who are not keeping their roza, give them the tawfiq to keep their roza properly. Give them bring the tawfeel to realize the value of this ibadat of fasting for your sake, of staying hungry and thirsty. Give them the lazzat and the halawat of this staying hungry and thirsty for your sake. Allah, give us tawfeel to worship you, to practice, to pray five times a day, to pray nawafil, salatul tasbih, tahajjud, ishraq, and to pray our taraweeh 20 rakats properly, to read Quran properly, to do some zikr of yours, and to do some tasbihar and istighfar. And Allah, give us tawfeel to worship you, give us tawfeel to realize the purpose of our creation, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and to do your ibadat, and to worship you in the manner which we should worship you. O Allah, have mercy upon us. Fulfill our needs of this dunya and of the hereafter as well. Of the hereafter. Give us death with kalma. Make our life after death easy for us. Make our life in the qabr easy for us. O Allah, we know that we have to sleep in the qabr for many, many years upon end. O Allah, make that washatnak life easy for us. O Allah, expand our graves. Give us noor in our graves. O Allah, make our graves garden from the gardens of Jannah. And O Allah, O Allah, save us from the azab and punishment in the qabr, in the grave. Make our sawal jawab in the qabr easy for us. O Allah, those murhumeen from our family members who have passed away, whose parents, whose family members have passed away, have mercy upon them. O Allah, shower your rahmah upon their graves. O Allah, make their graves as wide and as far as the eyes can see. Give them nuraniyat in their graves, barakat in their graves. Make their graves a garden from the gardens of Jannah. O Allah, and then when we get up and we are presented to you on the day of Qiyamah, O Allah, make that presentation easy for us as well. O Allah, that day will be a very long day. People will be drenched in their sweat and perspiration. O Allah, give us the shade of your arsh and throne on that day, and give us ease and peace on that day. O Allah, give us the sweet water of Hawza Kawthar at the hands of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah, make our hisab kitab easy for us. O Allah, when our a'mal, our deeds are weighed, O Allah, then make sure that the scale of the good deeds outweighs the scales of the sin. And O Allah, protect us from the fire of Jahannam. Help us to cross the pul sirat with ease and swiftly. And O Allah, protect us from the azab of Jahannam, from the fire of Jahannam, from the snakes and scorpions of the Jahannam, from the beatings of Jahannam. O Allah, protect us from the azab and take us into Jannatul Firdaus with salamati and with peace in the beginning, with the Anbiya and Awliya and Siddiqeen and Sulaha and Shuhada and Saliheen, and along with our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take us into Jannah in their company. Keep us steadfast on their track and on their path till the day we die. Accept our sitting over here. O Allah, these ladies have come to this bayan with lots of muhabbat. O Allah, reward them for their muhabbat. O Allah, reward them for their muhabbat. Take care of them. Reward them for every step they took from their homes to the masjid. O Allah, fulfill all their needs. Remove all their problems. And O Allah, all their calamities. And help them, assist them, support them, fulfill their needs. Give them peace of mind in this dunya. Give them sukoon and fulfill all their needs. O Allah, give them pious offsprings. Make their awlad pious as well. Give them barakat in their izzat, honor. Give them barakat in their health, in their wealth, in their children, in their awlad, in their family, in their homes. All the brothers, sisters, everybody over here, we are all asking this from you. Accept our humble du'as. O Allah, you accept the du'as of those who are fasting. Accept our du'as. You have promised to accept the du'a of the fasting. All these people sitting over here are fasting. Have mercy upon them. Accept their du'as. Fulfill their needs. O Allah, at the same time, have mercy upon the whole ummah. Have mercy upon our brothers and sisters in Syria, our brothers and sisters in Misr, our brothers and sisters in Palestine. O Allah, take care of Masjid al-Aqsa. Take care of those who are taking care of Masjid al-Aqsa. O Allah, our brothers and sisters are going through real hard times in Syria and Sham. O Allah, Zalim is over them. O Allah, He is not thinking about the sanctity of a mu'min, the iman of a believer. Ya Allah, killing fields are open over there. Bombs are being thrown on them. Their whole infrastructure has been finished and wiped out. Oh Allah, they need your help. Nobody is there to help them. Their only hope is you. They only turn their eyes towards you. Oh Allah, we beg you. Oh Allah, please do not punish them for our sins. Oh Allah, It is our sins which are bringing this wrath upon the Ummah. Oh Allah, we are sinful, we have hurt, we have made mistake. We admit our guilt. Oh Allah, please forgive us. Oh Allah, please forgive the whole Ummah. Oh Allah, please have mercy upon the whole Ummah. Remove calamities and problems from the whole Ummah. Help our brothers and sisters in Syria. Oh Allah, help the small children, help the widows, help the ladies, help the elderly. Oh Allah, help them, take care of them, provide for them, give them shelter, give them food, give them medicine. Oh Allah, those who are helping them, help them. Take care of our brothers in Egypt and Misr, wherever they are, shuhada, elevate their ranks in Jannah. Oh Allah, accept their khun, and oh Allah, due to their barakah, have mercy upon the whole Ummah. Accept our humble du'as. Oh Allah, take care of the whole Ummah. Protect our masajid, our madaris, our ulama, our sulaha, our mashayikh. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to benefit from them and to derive maximum benefit from them. Oh Allah, give us all those good things which your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked from him. Protect us from all those fitnas, trials, tribulation, problems from which your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought your protection. And be pleased with us. Accept our du'as. Amen. Accept all the du'as that we have made throughout the month of Ramadan. Amen. And give us tawfiq to make du'as in the days that have left, that are left. And give us tawfiq to behave properly, keep our rozas properly, and to seek your pleasure, and to make you happy, and remove your anger and wrath from the whole ummah, and accept our du'as. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلي اللهم وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.